Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what's that?
Now.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
You have to get the A-OK from the AV technician. So glad to have y'all here. Now we're gonna have to pretend this morning. Y'all remember when you were kids and you played pretend? Well, pretend like we're under the pavilion at Grand Gulf Military Park. No. We're pretending. We can pretend it's perfect, right? So we're pretending that it's a beautiful sunny day and the breeze is blowing and you can smell the wildflowers. So we're going to just pretend that that's what's happening today, right? Glad y'all are here. And want to welcome not only all of our folk from Yachna Church and from First Port Gibson. We've got some visitors from out of town. And oh, we've got some grandchildren. And we have our work group from Ferris State University in Big Rapids, Michigan. Y'all, now you know who they are. You can especially, I'm sure, pick out the members of the football team who are here. We're glad y'all are here. We hope you have a good time. Also, I was able to prevail upon one of our Ferris State students, Oren Whiteside, who is going to give us special music in a moment. I'll just say that he is an accounting student who's going to graduate in December. So he also is a piano player. So if you've never met a piano-playing accountant before, you will today. Now, I do need from some of my Port Gibson folks, if anybody has an annex key that you're not going to need this week, if you could lend them to me, that would be great. I need a couple or three extra keys because our work group is going to divide into teams. And they would like to be able to get back in when they go out to do their work. They're going to be repairing and building wheelchair ramps in the area and maybe some roof work. So be praying for some dry weather this week so they can do some roof work. We're glad to have y'all. Thank you so much. After worship, we're going to have a covered dish lunch. Now, my Michigan folks have told me that it's not a covered dish lunch. It's a potluck. Okay, so we're going to have a potluck lunch in the annex. And I know some folks have brought some food, and so we will have a good time in the Lord. We'll not have Bible study this week, but we'll be back hopefully next week. And I think those are all the announcements. So just to remind our online folks, gifts may be sent either through our church website using credit card or mailed to Post Office Box 517 in Port Gibson. Now we're going to call one another to worship as we usually do at Grand Gulf using Psalm 117. You find it on the front cover of your bulletin. If you haven't gotten a bulletin, you'll want to pick one up there as you come in. And it's sung to the tune of Amazing Grace. So we'll stand and sing Psalm 117, two stanzas of the tune of Amazing Grace. Let us stand to sing. Let us pray. Our Lord, in the pressures of our daily lives, it is so easy for us to forget your love. When things don't go the way we want them to or the way we think they should, it is easy for us to fall into discouragement or even into despair. But today, as we come to worship you, help us truly rejoice. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us truly trust in Christ. For then we can be sure of your greatest blessings, that you have washed us clean of our sin and welcomed us into your presence solely because of the perfect sacrifice of your Son, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us remain standing as we affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed, which you find on the back of your order of service. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We have many reasons to give God our thanks and our praise, and one of the greatest reasons is the privilege of prayer. God invites all those who trust in him to come to him wherever we are, and we can pray all week long. But when we come together as a family of faith, we express our prayers somehow in a more powerful way. And God hears us. And so let us go to before the throne of grace, because we will find strength to help us whenever we are in our time of need. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for worship. We thank you for praise. We thank you for your word. Lord, for all of these means of grace that you pour out upon your people, we thank you. We thank you, our Father, for gifts of work that you give us to do, profitable work. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you give us to help people. We thank you, Father, for the unity of the body of Christ, which is expressed across racial, denominational, and geographical lines. Lord, we thank you that you have given us to one another and that you have drawn all who trust in Jesus to yourself. We thank you, O Lord, and we know that you have poured these blessings out upon us, but we also know, our Father, that there are many who do not have these blessings today. Lord, we know that some have not heard about the Lord Jesus. There are people all over the world who have not yet heard the good news of Christ. We pray, O Lord, that you would send forth laborers into your harvest field and allow them to hear the truth and to see the love of Jesus. Lord, for those who have heard, but who have turned away from the faith, some have allowed the disappointments and the circumstances of their lives to make them doubt your love and your grace. Lord, we pray for those, and we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to convict them and to draw them back unto yourself. And Lord, we know there are many who are walking with you by faith, but for whom the circumstances of life have become very difficult and their faith is being tested. Lord, we pray for those who are wrestling with sickness. We pray for those who are wrestling with grief. Lord, for those who have been injured and wonder why. Lord, we pray for those whose relationships have become strained or difficult. Lord, we pray for those who feel abandoned or lonely or left out. And Lord, in this time of pandemic spreading all over the world. We pray not only for those who have become sick with COVID, we pray not only for those who are caregivers for the sick, for our healthcare professionals and for family members who care for those who have gone home from the hospital. Lord, we want to pray for those who have been isolated because of this disease. We pray for those in our nursing homes who haven't been able to see their loved ones in so long. We pray for those who haven't been able to go and see family members. Lord, we ask that you would bless and that you would keep those ties of love close, even if they are no longer able to be expressed in person. And we thank you, Father, that you are indeed God. Wherever we are, you are our God. And we thank you that you bless us, and we thank you that you love us. And we pray that as we meditate on your word today, and as we share table fellowship, that you would fill us, Lord, with faith in Christ. For we pray this in his name. Amen. And now we'll invite Oren to come and bless us with, he's already here. Not only is he a piano-playing accountant, he seems to be a shapeshifter. So thank you, Oren. Thank you. We would never applaud in church in Port Gibson, of course, but since we're out at Grand Gulf, it's okay. Our scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 8, and you'll find it in your order of service, since we don't have our pew Bibles out here under the pavilion. This is from the New American Standard, so slightly different from your King James translation. But I thought we would take a break from our study of Matthew's gospel and meditate on this passage today, briefly. Romans chapter 8, the verses 14 through 30, this is the word of the Lord. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we might also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption, into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. That is God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate upon it today. All things work together for good to those who love God. That is what verse 28 says. Can Paul be serious? Does Paul have a grip on the real world, on our world, our world of pandemics and poverty, our world of riots and revolutions, our world of disappointments and dissatisfactions? After all, in our world, many people look at the suffering in their lives or in the lives of their loved ones, and they decide not to believe in God. They decide not to believe in the Bible. They decide not to trust in Jesus Christ. They just don't see how God could be all-powerful and how God could be all-loving and yet allow such bad things to happen. All things work together for good. Nothing can separate us from God's love. That is hard for many people to believe. It may be hard for some of you to believe today. But lest we fall into the trap of cynicism or self-pity, we should remember that the person who wrote those words, Paul, had a pretty tough life too. Just read the book of Acts. We learn that when Paul became a Christian, his former enemies, the Christians, became his friends. But his former friends, the Pharisees, became his enemies. And Paul's new enemies were the same folks who had conspired to put Jesus to death. So they saw nothing wrong with trying to kill Paul too. So, when Paul became a Christian, he became a target. At a town called Lystra, his enemies stoned him, throwing rocks at him until they thought he was dead. In Philippi, the men in charge of the city had Paul beaten with a rod and thrown into jail. In both cases, the reason Paul suffered was because he was a Christian. His faith in Christ is what led directly to his pain and his suffering, and yet, somehow, he could say that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to God's purpose. How can this be? And how can we use this passage to gain some perspective on the suffering and the difficulties that come into all of our lives. Well, the first thing Paul has to teach us is that our relationship with God can help put our suffering into perspective. And that is because, as he says in verse 18, our sufferings are nothing when compared to the glory of knowing and being known by God. Yes, our lives in this world are often difficult. Sometimes they seem to be spiraling completely out of control. But the good news is that those who trust in Christ belong to another reality at the same time. In fact, those who are trusting in Jesus are actually adopted children of God. And we have the hope that one day we will be recognized as such by the whole world on the day that our sufferings come to an end. Now, I know when times are tough, it can be hard to believe that. Many of us, oftentimes, don't feel very special or worthwhile or loved, especially when things around us seem to be going so terribly wrong. But that is why verse 24 calls us to hope. Hope. If we always felt confident, if we always felt assured, if we always felt protected, if we already had all the blessings of heaven, if we could see and touch Jesus right now, we would not need to hope in Him or in His coming. If our lives were perfect right now, we would not need to trust in Christ. We would not need to have patience as we wait for Him. So, when God comes into our reality, our sufferings are put into perspective. But that's not all He does for us. Our suffering also can connect us in a more meaningful way with the rest of God's creation. How does that work? Well, verse 22 tells us something we don't often think about, that the whole creation is waiting with eager longing for Jesus to return. And that is because the whole creation, all the plants, all the animals, everything that God made good and perfect, all of it has been subjected to futility. In one way or another, the whole creation has been messed up. Messed up because of the sin of human beings. And that means the whole creation will only be made new when Jesus comes back. And so, when we experience the brokenness of creation, when we swat at the swarms of biting gnats, when our picnic plans are ruined by thunderstorms, which come and then go, when hurricanes blow into the Gulf, when ice storms blow in from Canada, when viruses become more virulent and deadly and spread across the globe, we are moved to join our voices with those of every created thing, crying out to Jesus to come back and fix what we cannot fix. But we don't just share in the suffering of the natural world, do we? No. Our sufferings can bring us closer to others who suffer. When we are sick or hurting, we draw closer to the experience of others who experience disease or injury. When we are hungry or wet or cold, we get a glimpse into the reality of poverty and homelessness. Our suffering doesn't just help us fix our eyes more completely on heaven as we wait for the return of Christ. Suffering can also open our eyes more fully to the tragedy that is in this sinful, broken earth. And it can draw our hearts closer to other people who suffer. Many in ways that make our problems seem small. But there's one more thing suffering does for us. It doesn't just give us perspective, a heavenly perspective. It doesn't just join us more closely to those around us. Suffering can also activate divine help for us. Suffering can activate divine help for us. Now, every Christian knows that we need to pray more when we are in those hard times, right? In those painful times. We know we should, but sometimes that's when prayer is the hardest. Let's face it. When we're hurting, it's easy to blame God for our pain. It's easy to lose hope. When we've tried our best and things just haven't worked out the way that we wanted them to. But here's the good news that we find in this passage. It's when we're at our weakest. It's when we're at the end of our rope. It's when we have exhausted all of our resources. That's when God is at work most clearly in our lives. In fact, verse 26 reminds us that when we don't know how to pray, when we don't even feel like we have the strength to pray, the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God who lives within all Christians, is praying for us. He's groaning out of the midst of our weakness and our pain with a message that is too meaningful for merely human words to convey. And we know that those prayers will be heard because God the Father is always listening to God the Holy Spirit. And because God the Holy Spirit always prays for us in ways that are in accordance with God's pure and perfect will. Suffering can do all of that for us. But in the midst of our pain, how can we know all of that is true? Because of what Paul tells us at the end of this passage. The same God who allows suffering to come into our lives ordained an even greater suffering for his Son. It is because Jesus suffered and died on the cross that all who are in him can experience what Paul describes at the end of this passage. It's because Christ died for us that we can be justified, declared righteous in God's sight. And as we share in his sufferings, not only do we draw closer to the rest of God's hurting people, not only do we draw closer to the rest of God's hurting world, we not only activate God's power to help us and to heal us, we also draw closer to Christ. We become more like the Christ who suffered. We become conformed to his image. And we can thus be sure of sharing in his glory when he returns. Now, I don't know what this week may hold for you. Maybe you will experience some disappointments. Maybe the weather will frustrate some of your plans. Maybe you'll feel overwhelmed because you just can't get everything done. Maybe you'll discover some new challenges. Or maybe you'll keep wrestling with some of those all too familiar problems that you just can't do anything about. If so, let's remember what Paul has taught us. Suffering can bring us great benefits. Suffering can increase our hope and our endurance and our patience. Suffering can make us more eager for our final adoption and redemption as children of God. Suffering can make us look forward with greater anticipation to the glory to come. Suffering can put us in closer fellowship with all creation as we long for the return of Christ. Suffering can make us more dependent on God, bringing the Holy Spirit into a powerful ministry of prayer on our behalf. For it is when we suffer that we draw closest to the one who has suffered so much for us. Let's draw closer to him as we take up our orders of service, and we'll turn the inside. You'll find the hymn, "Nearer, My God, to Thee." May everything that happens to us this week draw us nearer to the Lord. We'll sing all five stanzas of this hymn, and let us stand to sing. After the worship service, I guess most of us will leave by this door going out to the annex for our lunch. And whenever we are told that everything is ready, then we'll have a blessing and we'll partake of fellowship and food together. But receive now the benediction of the Lord. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.